Thank you, George. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. And the message is just so, well, it's just so true. Why are we here? Why has God left us behind? Why didn't we just trust Him and zoom right up to heaven? Because people need the Lord. So we're still here to be witnesses of that. And so thank you so much for that. Our text this morning, working through 1 Peter 2:11-12, and we're going to be speaking about holiness, which is people looking at us and hopefully seeing that we're different because our love for God comes from knowing how much He loves us. So anyway, I encourage you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we read verses 11 and 12, and I'll ask if you stand in our great God's honor as I read aloud. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that what you command us to do, you empower us to do, and we're called to live holy lives in a world that's, Lord, not holy. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we move forward, Lord, in the service. And Father, we have been blessed so far, and I want the blessing to continue. So Father, use me in spite of me. Speak by your Holy Spirit above what I say. And we just need to hear from you, so may that occur. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Holiness among many churches, sadly, is simply a list. This is what it means to be holy. You know, there's an old saying that I don't smoke, dip, or chew, and I don't date girls who do. But, you know, we come up with this list. This is what it looks like to be holy. And it's so much more than that. As I put this down to a sentence, this message, I thought about this. I think you could simply say it this way. Holiness is more than just a list. Holiness is listening to the Holy Spirit. Holiness is more than a list. Holiness is listening to the Holy Spirit. There's a story about a pastor who, his idea of holiness was, man, you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't eat chocolate. I don't know what happened to the poor guy where chocolate got on the list. Man, that's a rough life. But anyway, he decided he was going to preach the evils of those three wicked sins. And so he had a demonstration. He preached with all of his heart against drinking, smoking, and too much chocolate. And so he had a visual demonstration. He had four jars. In the jars, first jar was filled with alcohol and a worm. Lid closed. Second jar was filled with cigarette smoke and a worm. Jar sealed, closed. Third jar filled with a worm. Chocolate sealed. Fourth jar, there was a soil, good soil, and a worm. Jar was sealed. So he preached with all of his heart against these sins. And he got to the end of the sermon, and he reached down, and he started grabbing jars, and he pulled up the first jar, and he said, "You see this jar? It is filled with alcohol, and the worm is dead." Puts the jar down. He picks up the next jar, and he says, "See this jar? Filled with cigarette smoke, and the worm in it is dead." Reaches down, he picks up the third jar, and he says, "And this jar, it is filled with chocolate, and the worm is dead." But I bet he was smiling, if worms have faces. I don't know, what a way to go down in chocolate. And then he reaches down, picks up the fourth jar. And he says, "In this jar filled with good soil and a worm that is healthy and is alive." He comes to the end of his message and he asks the congregation, he says, "So what did you learn from the visual demonstration today?" And this little lady in the back, she starts waving her arms. And he points to her and he says, "Yes, tell me how God has spoken to you through this demonstration." And she stands up and she says, "I have learned that if you smoke, drink, and eat lots of chocolate, you'll never have worms." I don't think that was the point, obviously, of her message. But we want to look this morning on holiness. And we want to look at three areas, as you see in this outline. First, holiness in the text tells us it is who you are, it is what we avoid, and thirdly, it is how we act. First, look at the text here. It's who we are. And he speaks here in verse 11. He calls us dear friends. Some translations, beloved. And the point here is that God does not desire to destroy you. He desires to love you. He desires to know you. That's His heartbeat. And you know, we just looked at the previous verses that exclaims how He's reached out to us. He says, "Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Hey, once you hadn't received mercy, now you have received mercy." That is the picture that God gives to us, that He doesn't want His main message to be, "I'm mad at you and I intend to zap you." No, He loves you. Then He describes us. He says, "Hey, as aliens and strangers in this world." In other words, there's more to life than this world. We do not live merely for this place. As someone has said, when we aim for the world, for the life after this life, we gain both worlds. We gain both places when our hearts are aimed toward the life beyond this life. And as He speaks to us, He says, "Hey, aliens and strangers in this world, this place is not where you truly will live forever." And He makes that point, and he wants that to be clear in people's minds. You know, there are some churches, the concept, as one author put it, Christians are almost called to be like rabbits. You know, and he used the terminology rabbit hole Christians. You know, where you get out of bed and you poke your head out the door and you say, oh, I have to be careful. And you go to school or you go to work and you try your best to stay clean, to not be contaminated by those people who don't go to church, by those people who don't read their Bible, by those people who do not know God. And then, you know, hopefully a good day is when you come home and you go, "Phew, man, I'm still clean. I didn't come in contact with any of those people." But that's not the call. God says that though we are His people and we are set apart, we are called to be salt and to be light and to build bridges and to connect with those people because those people count. And you know, sometimes we make it so hard with sharing the gospel with people, but you know, we have to share the message of the truth, but we also have to be the message. If we are not the message, they don't hear the message we speak. And that is so critical, and that is so important. It's who we are. Now, secondly, it deals with what we are to avoid. Look at the next part of our text. It tells us to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. To abstain means stay away from it. Stop it. And yes, there is, part of being holy means that there are certain things the Holy Spirit tells us, don't do that. That's not going to bring you close to Jesus. That's not going to put the floodlight of Jesus upon your life when others look at you. So don't do it. And so, you know, that's a challenge for each of us. What is the struggle to you that you know does not put the floodlight on Jesus? What is it you know that hurts Jesus that, you know, is attractive to you and you need to say no to? I don't know the answer to that, but you do. And so it is important that we are in tune with God and we listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And, you know, He'll say, okay, there are certain things I need to stay away from that place. I need to stay away from looking at that or reading that or listening to that because I know it's not bringing me into a closer walk with Jesus. The Spirit of God is, you know, He's dealing with me on that. And there's a discomfort there. The reason there's a discomfort there is because the Spirit of God is saying, you're His child. You're God's child. That's not best for you. That is keeping you apart from God who loves you. There's a couple examples of these in the letter to 1 Peter. Matter of fact, this chapter, chapter 2, the first verse gives us a few of these. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice. That's meanness toward other people. And all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So here's an example of some areas where the Spirit of God, you know, is in line with the Word of God and tells, don't do that stuff. Abstain from that. Stay away from that. That's part of being holy. And then you go over to chapter 4 and the first couple of verses. Starting at verse 3, he says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, in a wild, riotous living, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. Man, why won't you join in and do this? Who do you think you are, you goody two-shoes? I love Peter Marshall's old saying. He used to say, there's a difference between being good and goody-goody. And people say, why are you so goody-goody? But being holy means, this does not bring me closer to Jesus. So I need to be separate from it. Now, it tells us that these desires that war against, they war against us. And that picture of war is a picture of they injure us. One commentator put it like this. They are not only trying to injure your body, they are trying to pervert your desire, enslave your will, darken your understanding, and deepen within you a spirit of disobedience against God. D.L. Moody, the old evangelist, when he was talking about walking with God in the Christian life, he said, the person I have the most trouble with in my Christian life is D.L. Moody. He's the guy that gives me the most trouble. And there's this battle within us, a sinful nature in the Spirit of God that is seeking to have control in our hearts and in our lives. And it says that these desires, they wage war. And the picture of war here is not merely like hand-to-hand combat, you know, where you're fighting in the field, but it's even a bigger picture of a military campaign where there's a battle to retain high ground, where there is a battle that new land and new area would not fall but stay under the control. And so the battle here is, we'll not let God have any area of your life that we control right now, the evil desires. We want to retain that. We want to keep that. We want to keep that high ground. We want to be in charge and in control. And so Peter is saying, be aware of that with this battle that goes on. It doesn't come easy to abstain from these areas. There's something about them that, man, you want to do. It makes you feel good. There's something about it that makes you want to grab a hold of it and make a habit out of it. And he says, hey, stay away from it. The 17th century Puritan John Flavel, I'm going to share these words with you, wrote, to keep a holy government or holy control over thy thoughts, to have all things lie straight and orderly in the heart, is constant work. The keeping of the heart is a work that is never done until life is ended. There is no time in the life of a Christian which will allow an intermission in this work. John Bunyan, who's well known for writing Pilgrim's Progress, he also wrote another book called The Holy War. And in that book, he talked about a Christian who was named Mansoul. And Mansoul was in this constant battle and this, you know, constant war that was raging within him. And he mentioned five gates that the enemy could enter through. There's the eye gate, the ear gate, the nose gate, the feel gate, and the mouth gate. And so in the book and in this allegory, he simply would say that the only way sin can enter in is through one of these gates. Maybe it comes through the eye gate of, look at that. Boy, I want that. Or the ear gate. Do you hear that? Whew, boy, that sounded good. Or the feel gate. How that makes me feel. But anyway, I could get, you know, going through each of those. And here's what he said. This is interesting. He said, it's interesting to discover man's soul could never be damaged or defeated by outside attacks. The only way sin could gain a victory was if one of the senses opened their gate from the inside and let him in. There's a verse in Romans 6. It's verse 13 in the King James. He says, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of sin. And the terminology there, yield, is a military term that speaks of willingly handing over your weapons. So what he's saying here is, guard your heart. Guard those gates. Understand that you're in a battle. If you don't know you're in a battle, the enemy's got control. It is a battle, and we need to be aware of that battle. And the question isn't, preacher, when are you going to lighten up? The question is, when are we going to wake up? It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe. Had one of those brain drains. But anyway, in there he says, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He calls us to be awake. You see, I repeat again, as I said, a sentence of this whole message. Holiness is not about making a list. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit. Big difference. All right, third, finally, the pursuit of holiness involves how you act. Look at verse 12. Live such good lives and among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. The command commands in this verse, it's all in the present tense. So you could say it's a constant thing. In other words, keep on living such good lives among the pagans, which are those who are not in Jesus Christ, not part of the family of God. Live such good lives among them that though they accuse you of doing wrong, I got to find something wrong to peg him with. He just looks too good. It's getting on my nerves. So I'm going to do this careful scrutiny, this careful inspection to check that person out because they just can't really be that good a person. And I want to discover the truth about them. And see, here's the hard truth for those Christians. You know, I used to hear the saying, and you've heard it too, that, well, I think so-and-so is a Christian, but I think they got in by the skin of their teeth. Have you ever tried to measure how thick the skin on your teeth are? Man, there's not much there. I don't think I would put my whole confidence in my walk with God on the thickness of the skin of my teeth. I'll tell you that for sure. So, you know, here's a question. If unbelievers look at your life, and by looking at you, they're not interested in finding out how to glorify God, then, man, we need to take a look at our lives. Why are we here? Who is it that gives us every blessing that we have, as it tells us in the Scriptures? Every good and perfect thing, it comes from God. And if we leave God out, if we don't give Him credit, if we don't recognize Him, if we don't put the spotlight on Him with our lives and glorify Him, why are we still here? We're missing it. We're on the wrong side of the battle. We don't understand the war that is occurring within us, and it makes such a great difference. You know, it tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it's by the grace of God you've been saved. It's His grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not by works. It's a gift of God so that nobody can boast and brag about what they've done. It's His work. But the next verse, verse 10, it tells us we are His workmanship. It is the word poema or poem. We are God's special creation, created for good works, which Christ Jesus prepared in advance for us to do. Man, we are here to glorify Him. We are here to serve Him. We are His workmanship, and we're to do His works, and we're to bring Him glory in that. One author, he wrote about being at an airport, and there was a bad snowstorm, and he was waiting to get a rental car, and he sat down and he started talking to a guy who was an engineer, and as he talked to this guy, he found out that he was going to take a transit to a specific place, and his wife, who was pregnant and they have two small kids, was going to meet them at that place and pick him up and then take him home. And so this guy told him, he said, "Hey, you know, it's not so much trouble." He said, "I'll just give you a ride home. Contact your wife and just tell her that I'll give you a ride home." He goes, "Okay, sounds good." So, you know, they get in the car and they're going through this snowstorm, and he starts talking to this guy. And he says, "Have you ever had somebody do something for you and it was such a great act of kindness, it made you want to do something kind for somebody else?" And he thought for a moment and he said, "Yes." He said, "That is what Jesus Christ has done for me." And then he shared his testimony, you know, about the kindness of God. How he wasn't pleasing God. He was in rebellion against God. He didn't understand he needed the full forgiveness of God. He didn't understand the mercy of God. He didn't understand how God was holy and how we needed to be right with God. And so he shared about the great kindness of God, how God showed exceptional kindness. And so now he wants to be kind to others because he has tasted of the kindness of God in his own life. And so he shared that, and he got and you know, he asked the guy what he thought and responded, and he just simply said, "Well, I need to think about that." And that's as far as that went. But it was interesting because he closed the article by saying, "I am sure he at least listened to what I had to say, because come on guys, you know it's an act of kindness when you're getting a ride home in a snowstorm." And the point is that we too are to live lives that show kindness to other people, that He may receive the glory. And on the day He visits us, it is that day when they see Jesus, when they finally get the gospel. You know the old saying, "I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and then one day I heard the gospel." You see, in Christ, we heard the gospel, heard the gospel, heard the gospel, but one day I heard the gospel. And that's what it's talking about here. And part of that process, most of the time, if not all the time, when that process is occurring, there are Christians in the body of Christ who are glorifying God, who are living lives that put the floodlight on Jesus, and the Holy Spirit works through them as they are day by day engaged in this war of saying, I want to listen to the Holy Spirit and not just follow a list. I want the love of God to be evident in my life that others might see it. And you know what? God can use us even when we're not aware, right? And I was thinking about a story with this. Years ago, a church that we served, our neighbors started coming to church. It was a mom and a couple of girls that were friends with our children. And, we grew pretty close to the neighbors, but the husband would never come. And so when it finally came to that point where, you know, we moved to a different church, and I thought, man, I don't even know how to talk to this guy, but I said, you know, I'll probably never see him again. What I have to lose? Chicken Todd needs to be a little bold, right? So for some reason, I couldn't remember. I had to give him a ride somewhere. So he's trapped in the car with me riding. And I said to the guy, I said, look, I know you don't understand us. You know, your wife's coming to church, and you're probably thinking, I don't know what the big deal is with all this stuff. I said, but one day, God is going to speak to you. And one day, you're going to understand the gospel. And one day, you're going to be saved. And one day, Jesus is going to change you. Well, I'd like to say, he said, praise God, and started praying and repenting and all that, but he's like, okay, you know. So I drop him off. Well, then I found out a couple of years later, they were at a different church, and he got saved. And God moved in his life, and he loved the Lord. And so I felt kind of good about myself, right? I had talked to him. He was in the car, and that boldness kind of paid off. So I tried to get a hold of Glenn, and, you know, I was talking to him. I said, and I said, you remember we were in the car and I had that conversation? He said, no. And so, you know, hey, look, man, this is about God. It is not about us. As we glorify God, he will move. You know, I don't know how much he moved through what I did, but he used somebody else in the body of Christ, right? We may be the first person like me, or we may be the next person in the body. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like someone said, it's like, you know, when you're nailing in a long nail with a hammer, it takes more than, you know, one swipe, unless you're, you know, like these guys like Terry and Greg, probably didn't one swipe, but not me. I miss it sometimes. But, you know, it takes a couple of times, but each hit matters. And each act of obedience matters as the Holy Spirit works through each of us in holiness. Why are we here? For the kingdom of God. And that other people might see the glory of God. And that one day Jesus visits and they say yes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your call. And Father, the call to each of us, that we will see holiness as more than making a list, but listening to the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we come to this time of invitation, may we listen to the Holy Spirit. There's an open altar. Do I need to come? May you ask that question. Do I need to come at the altar and to pray? Do I need to say yes to something the Spirit of God has been dealing with me about and say yes now to you? Maybe it's to come before the church publicly and to declare the work of God. That's between you and God. But if so, we want that opportunity to happen, that we might be blessed by the movement of the Spirit of God in the people of God, because we need that. We need to hear of it. And so, Father, I just pray that you move among us, whether somebody needs to trust you for the first time and say yes to Jesus and become part of the family of God and find forgiveness, or if it's to, Lord, just to say yes to you is we need to do that. Something's happened, and we need to say yes and follow you, obey you. So, Father, I just pray you do that in us so that we might be, Father, the example that you use to speak to those without Christ. So, Father, just speak in our time that we call invitation. In Jesus' name.